We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Halloween. The weather's feeling a little Halloweenish out there today. Kind of like it. All right. Thursday's always the future of almost everything. Martin Moore's out today. Steve Lynn may be on his way. We're not quite sure, but we're going to pivot. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to talk about things you need to know. Commerce and community, that's what we do on The Upswing. Today, we'll have some voting conversation. Some fun Halloween talk for sure. Age gating at local malls. And while I'm not embracing the, you know, traditional Halloween costume, maybe, I did wear a suit today. So I am embracing corporate guy on The Upswing, noting that communities that truly are succeeding in today's business environment embrace that startup mentality, creativity, and corporate all together. Those communities are the ones that win. Yes, indeed. Entrepreneurism, startup, and the corporate look that I'm sporting today, they all go together. That's what we're building right here in Milwaukee. And you know what? We're building that each and every day here on The Upswing. Let's go, as we do each and every morning, to up.
Now it's time for the
1, 2, 2.
Up on The Upswing.
Oh, I got to do some Mobcraft Brewery blues for the first story. Steve, I'm going to have you chime in on this one. Just Mobcraft Beer, Milwaukee-based craft brewery known for its crowdsourced beers. The brewery opened in 2011 at House of Brews in Madison, then moved to Milwaukee in 2016. They announced yesterday via email that November 30th will be the last day for Mobcraft Brewery. They'll go out with a big party and all are invited. But according to the email that went out to its Liquid Gold League from Henry Schwartz, who's the president and CEO of Mobcraft, he simply said, "I've got some news. The wild ride of Mobcraft as we know it is going to be changing in the coming month. We've reached the end of the runway as a company, and we're going to be forced to close our operations and sell off our assets." He continues, "We are in negotiations to be acquired by another brewery and will most likely be winding down operations as Mobcraft at the end of November, then selling the business to new ownership shortly after." Steve, I know you've had a lot of...
Longtime friend of Henry over there. Yeah.
What circle of life here, or just like, hey, he powered through as long as they could?
I think both. And what this really is telling me, I think this is the first of several we'll see on the craft brew side, just because of how that's sort of playing out in the community right now, not just our community in Milwaukee, but across the country.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he goes on in his email to say that profitability had been declining. They looked at some new locations, launched a couple new locations, had to close down Denver.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a tough business for sure, but hopefully he'll be able to sell the assets. The space will be converted.
Yes.
And reborn into something else.
You haven't heard the last from Henry. I'll tell you that.
Right. All right. Very good. Let's go. Number two, let's go from beer to wine. California-based Uncork Wine Festivals is bringing its wine tasting festival back to Wisconsin for the fourth year in a row. It's this weekend. It's been at many different venues across the area in its first 3 years, the Domes and other venues. But this weekend, it will be at the Harley-Davidson Museum. Attendees will get to explore the museum after hours. You get to sip on a bunch of different wines from dozens of different wineries. There are two sessions. Early admission is $85. And another plan, the general admission, is $70. It starts at 8 p.m. Napa Cellars, Stone Street Estates, Iron and Sand, and a bunch of other national wineries, as well as some local vendors, are a part of this event Saturday at the Harley-Davidson Museum. All right. I have a third one, but we're going to mention that when we come back from the break. Steve Glenn is joining us. I want to talk about our plan for voting, because we all need a voting plan. This is The Upswing, and you're listening It's a WTMJ.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn.
Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Steve Glenn. Community connections abound here for the Upswing on a Thursday. We're going to talk about your voting plan in a minute. But first, we need to give away a gift card to the historic mineshaft in either beautiful downtown Hartford or just off of Highway 41 near the EAA in Oshkosh. Both locations are really creative. I love the dining rooms. There's so much to explore at the mineshaft. You know, that's why they call it the mineshaft. Super affordable, too, a ton of fun, and really family-friendly. Our kids love it because mom and dad can sit at the bar. You can go, hey, kids, go to the World Craft Game Room. It's really quiet, convenient for us to sit at the bar, but we know you're safe and secure and having fun up there in the game room. Kids under five eat for free Monday through Thursday from the kids menu. And every Thursday when you buy one pizza, you get a second pizza for free. Indeed. So you buy 10, you get 10 pizzas for free. That is great. Caller number 8 at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic mine shaft. All right, Steve, what is your voting plan? Do you have it all mapped out? Do you know, like, you got the family responsibilities, you got the job responsibilities, you're like, I'm voting at this time? What's that look like for you?
I think I'm really lucky that both my work and my family respect this process so much that they give so much freedom and flexibility to go and do it whenever.
Yeah.
My plan is to, but I haven't mapped this out yet because I'm not even sure. I'm interested to learn today a little bit on how you do this.
All right.
I want to vote early this year.
Okay.
I want to sit back and relax next Tuesday and just watch how things play out. But yeah, I've got to figure out how you go about that process.
All right. Well, let's first. Yeah. WTMJ's Adam Roberts has a four-part series breaking down some of what you're going to see on the ballot. Mm-hmm. No matter when you choose to vote.
Right.
Today, his focus is Milwaukee County. Let's hear Adam's report.
Exercise your vote!
We're inching closer to Election Day 2024, and even as hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites vote early, there are still those that choose, whether by necessity or even just tradition, to make the trip to the polls on that first Tuesday in November. So if you have yet to cast your ballot, we'll go over exactly what you can expect when you head to your polling location.
Don't boo, vote!
Our next stop is Milwaukee County, where of course you will vote for president, in addition to Democratic nominee Vice President Kamala Harris and Republican nominee former President Donald Trump. The ballot will include Robert F. Kennedy Jr., as well as third-party candidates Chase Oliver, Dr. Jill Stein, Randall Terry, Claudia De La Cruz, and Cornel West. All ballots will also include the race for one of Wisconsin's two U.S. Senate seats between incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde. As for the House, each of the four congressional districts represented in Milwaukee County also has a contested race this fall. District 1, which encompasses the southern suburbs, sees incumbent Republican Brian Stile taking on Democrat Peter Barca and the Green Party's Chester Todd Jr. In central Milwaukee's District 4, longtime Democratic incumbent Gwen Moore faces off against Republican Tim Rogers and independent Robert Raymond. District 5 includes the western suburbs and sees incumbent Republican Scott Fitzgerald facing a challenge from Democrat Ben Steinhoff. And District 6, which includes far northeastern North Shore suburbs, sees incumbent Republican Glenn Grothman taking on Democrat John Zarbano.
You gotta get out and vote.
At the state level, a key battle in the assembly is unfolding in the newly drawn 61st district, including Greendale and Hales Corners, as well as parts of Greenfield and small portions of both Milwaukee and Franklin. You've probably seen TV ads across southeast Wisconsin for the rematch between Democrat Lou Anne Bird and Republican Bob Donovan. The pair also faced off for the seat in 2022, with Donovan winning by just 525 votes. Another potential toss-up lies in Assembly District 21, another redrawn district which includes all of Oak Creek as well as far southern Milwaukee and portions of eastern Greenfield. There, Republican incumbent Jesse Rodriguez takes on Democratic challenger David Marsteller. The race is Marsteller's first after a career in floriculture, while Rodriguez has held the seat since 2013. Milwaukee County's odd-numbered state Senate districts are also up for grabs this fall. The lone contested Senate district is District 8, encompassing most of the North Shore suburbs, where incumbent Republican Dewey Strobel faces a challenge from Democrat Jody Habish-Sinikin. Finally, in addition to the statewide non-citizen voting referendum question, of Milwaukee's 19 municipalities, 10 communities will be voting on school referenda, where districts are asking, on average, for around $53 million each for increased operating expenses and various facility improvement projects. Adam Roberts, WTMJ News.
There is a large difference in vote choice between those planning to vote on Election Day or to vote early in person. You know, groups that favor Trump and those that voting absentee via mail who strongly favor Harris. I want to give you some breakdowns when we get back. I went to the MU Law event yesterday and got some further analysis on what early voting is looking like by candidate. And then I got to ask Steve Glenn, why can't we just get to a standard online voting platform in this country? Do we ever see a day where we're just going to be able to vote from our phones and it's done? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater sure looks strange to me.
Welcome back to The Upswing. Jeff Sherman joined by Steve Glenn from Experience Milwaukee and MISO. So yesterday, the final Marquette Law School poll before the election came out found that Harris was supported by 50% of Wisconsin likely voters, Donald Trump by 49%. When you break it down a little bit further, when voting in person on Election Day, Vice President Harris, 44%. Donald Trump, 56%. When voting in person, early voting, Vice President Harris, 47%. Donald Trump, 52%. When voting absentee by mail, Vice President Harris, 70%. Donald Trump, 30%. Wow. So there's definitely a breakdown by party in terms of how people
like to vote.
Yeah. And it just, I don't know, for me, it begs the question. It's all about convenience, right? Can we ever get to kind of a standard online voting model? You think that's going to happen in our lifetime, Steve?
I don't know. You know, I'd like to think it's just purely a security issue. How do you, you know, prevent hackers and manipulation and all that, or authenticity? Right. And but it sure would, you know, it sure would possibly open up voting to a lot more people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easy to go right to the concerns, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously there's security concerns, right, which, you know, there currently are in some way, shape, or form. But, you know, the primary obstacle of implementing kind of standard online voting is that risk of cyber attacks or hacking, sure, or manipulation of some sort. Then you have to authenticate each voter in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I like to think that maybe we could use our IRS.gov accounts.
Sure.
And you have some kind of common authenticated two-form login that you have to use, and then you're able to vote.
And you're in.
I mean,
you would think it would be easy.
Yeah, yeah. But then
easier than you think.
You also have the digital divides that, you know, not all citizens have equal access to the internet or the necessary devices to participate in voting. I mean, you have reliability concerns for sure. I don't know. But there, it's cool to see there is some innovation in the voting process. Optical scans, you know, some some voting precincts are using. You know, you get to scan the voting with your eyes and gets you in. You also have what are called EPBs, electronic poll books. Some polling places are using these to check in voters and manage the voter rolls a little bit more digitally, so it's not all automated. And then, you know, ballot marking devices, the machines that allow voters to make selections on a screen instead of the printed paper. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different ways that people can vote. And I'd like to think we could get to a more technology savvy voting system. But I also realize the politics behind it.
Right. Yep. And I'm with you. And I'm with you. I can only like imagine how many more people would vote if it was easier online.
Yeah.
I'm kind of old school. I like to get off the couch and go to the place and fill out a ballot.
Yeah. So I did. I voted early in the village of Shorewood. Went to the Shorewood Village Hall on Monday. I bet you I got there right at 8 a.m. as it was opening. There were probably 30 people in line.
Early risers,
right at the day. You know, today, this is according to Shorewood Village website, today is the deadline for regular voters and overseas electors to request an absentee ballot for the general election via mail. Tomorrow is the last day to register and vote early at the Village Hall. Obviously, you can register day of anywhere. Sure. But if you're going to vote early, the Village Hall in Shorewood, today's the last day. You can get all the voter information you need. You have questions, you have concerns, myvote.wi.gov has answers to every one of your questions. What I'm going to say is that if you have kids in your life, you have grandkids in your life, and you're going to vote in person, take them with you.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I've done this so they can see the process.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. I mean, they all have questions. They're all hearing things. They're seeing ads in their social feeds already. Mm-hmm. So you get to walk through the process with kids. I think it's really important to learn how to vote and to learn civics from your parents.
Right on.
But I'm going to have a little update as to one village that's passing some civics education initiatives. We'll discuss that when we come back.
Is that coffee?
That's it. I'm getting 100 cups of coffee, starting now.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
Smells good.
Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Steve Glenn. We haven't done a coffee index in a while. I was a little rushed on time this morning, so I used the old Starbucks app. Had it loaded. With a couple bucks, you know, when you think about it, Starbucks is kind of like a bank. They just take our money, interest-free. It just lives on the app and, like, just use me. I did get 5.3 loyalty points from my purchase this morning. I'm not sure what that gets me, but I like getting those loyalty points and those stars. The 12-ounce, $2.65. With that 17-cent tax, took me to $2.82 for my 12-ounce cup of coffee this morning.
That's lower than I thought it would be at Starbucks.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, the 12-ounce, you know, is that the normal tall, I think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Well, I got a bunch of Starbucks updates after this, but where'd you stop this morning, Steve?
So I typically drop in at Dia.
Okay.
And $2.
In your hometown?
25 cents.
$2? Ooh. That's low-cost leader, $2.25. All right. Jess?
Okay, so I was so concerned putting my coffee together, I did not have time for coffee. Oh, I just had the work coffee, which is free.
Oh, all right.
Honestly,
bonus.
But honestly,
winner.
Well, you know, work coffee, it's not as good as coffee at home, and it's certainly not as good as coffee anywhere else.
That's right.
But it's coffee.
I did ride my bike on Tuesday, and I was going to go to Casera Cafe before I realized, oh, it's closed on Tuesday.
Oh.
And I was like, thinking about going Thursday. Well, obviously, we know what happened. So I went to Full of Beans Cafe because I really like it. And it's close and nearby.
On Second Street.
Yeah, on Second Street.
Yeah, that's
so it was
sleeper.
Only $2.97.
There you go.
But also, interestingly, yesterday, a teammate of ours was holding two tall Starbucks cups.
Okay.
And I'm like, it's one of those kind of mornings. And they're like, no, they printed out two labels, so they gave me two.
Oh.
So it's very interesting when they... when they do that. So I got, it was tea, but it was good tea, but I got it for free. So it's always nice when Starbucks kind of messes up.
Look at that. That is an extended coffee index with a bunch of locations for you. The interesting thing is those handwritten Sharpie on cups, that's coming back at Starbucks. So those label
going away
malfunctions may not happen anymore. Starbucks is bringing back the handwritten names and Sharpies on cups. They're bringing back the self-service with the sugar and the cream to try to win back customers because a lot of, I think, some of their financial concerns last quarter and, well, really the last couple of years has been that they've taken away from that experience that everyone wants.
But are they bringing back the holiday cups?
Oh, I haven't got that news. I'm sure that's going to be in the next news cycle in about the next week or two. But they're also bringing back or they're removing the costs from drinks with soy, oat, almond, or coconut milk.
That's
huge.
They
won't cost customers extra anymore. So they won't have to pay more for adding the non-dairy stuff. The company also said that the removal of the non-dairy milk surcharge means customers who request it will pay around 10% less than they did previously.
That's
so,
good.
You know, some innovations and continuing to kind of add to the bottom line at Starbucks. That's what the company wants to do. I have a big idea for Starbucks that I'm going to share in a future show, but I think it's time for some serious innovation in the fast food coffee space. And I'm just going to put that out there.
Do you give them your real name when you order there?
I do, because I usually pay with my phone or the app.
Insured, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of already there.
Yeah, there you go.
You like to put the fake name?
It's whatever name you're in the mood for.
Yeah, well, that is fun. That is part of the experience. If you give the wrong name, you pay with cash, and you get the funny name written on the cup. Like, come on, we want some entertainment in what we do. And you know who also wants entertainment? Our kids. But if you look at kind of changing policies at area malls, maybe they don't want as many kids as they usually have. So, when we come back, Steve Glenn and I will talk about kind of changing parental guidance required policies at local malls. One area mall will be changing its policy beginning tomorrow. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Happy Halloween. Welcome back to The Upswing. Maybe your shower tub is a little scary this Halloween. Do not fear, though. Do not fear. WTMJ and Sidex have paired together to give away a tub or shower conversion. It's your chance to get a full makeover valued at up to $10,000. All you need to do is take a picture of that shower or that tub that needs some reconstruction, that needs a little bit of love. You text the word creepy to the WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620. You submit your picture as well, and you could win a full conversion from our good friends at Sidex. Contest rules and more are at the WTMJ website, WTMJ.com.
Who doesn't want a new bathroom?
Who doesn't? Yeah, but sometimes it's just so daunting.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you have those old school tubs
right. That
weigh just a ton.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, I need to hire somebody to get the tub out of here. And the cost gets really
turnkey.
High. Like, that's right. Do it all at once. Yeah. Done. All right. So beginning tomorrow, Steve, a new parental guidance required policy goes into effect at Bayshore Town Center. All mall attendees age 17 or under must be accompanied by a parent or supervising adult age 21 or over after 3 p.m. on Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays. The policy will be enforced with identification checks by mall security. Bayshore is kind of following the lead of other shopping centers in the area and even around the country, kind of implementing similar policies to, the mall says, ensure a comfortable shopping experience for guests. So it's interesting. I mentioned this to my 12-year-old, and they don't hang out a ton in the malls, but they like to maybe, you know, once a
month. Meet friends.
One clarifying point on the Bayshore policy, there's a movie theater there, and I think there's a different policy for entrance into the movie theater because it can go into that area without an adult or you want to be dropped off or whatever. So the policy changes a little bit. But, you know, I think when kids hear this, like, oh, you're taking away my freedoms. We want to just go hang out. We want to go to the boba tea place. But it kind of begs the question for me, like, if you're 15 or 16, where are those places to hang out and congregate?
I know, like, so my kids will go to Starbucks and hang out there for hours. I have one daughter who regularly hangs out roaming Target playing the free video games
Okay. Yeah,
with
yeah.
friends.
Yeah.
I see kids sitting outside of places like smaller retailers like Crumble Cookie, and they're just sitting on the curb outside. They've got nowhere to go, really.
Yeah, yeah. How do we solve for that? I mean, I understand this. You know, you want kids to be safe. You want a good environment for all shoppers. But you also don't want to have that perception, hey, we want you kids to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just not a ton of places, especially, you know, for 16 or 17-year-olds that want to hang out and be together in groups. Like, I guess you can go to Culver's.
Yeah.
Because it's open late. You can go to the community centers. You can go
here.
You can, right out in the market hall.
Hang out. I got three new games right there.
At
there
the Third Street Market Hall.
Yeah.
But, you know, shopping malls, there's a lot to do. Mm-hmm. Kids have money to spend.
Yeah, and it's a huge space to roam.
Yeah.
It's a big space. So I actually sketched up a concept I was going to pitch in the Greendale Village around a spot made for, I mean, the high school is literally a block away from the village.
Hmm.
For high schoolers to come and hang out, their own kind of space without dorky parents hanging out. But I think everyone worries, like, the kids aren't going to spend money.
Yeah, no, I think that's it too. And they think that they're going to turn away other people that are there to spend money because there's big groups of kids. It's hard to get around them or whatever it is. I mean, I understand all sides of this for sure. And it's just kind of, you want kids to behave responsibly.
Yeah.
You want places to be vibrant and alive. And again, this policy is for Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays after 3 p.m. So kids get there early, do what you need to do before 3 p.m. And then if you want to go after 3 p.m., go with your parent or an older brother or sister.
Not me.
And we're going to be all right. But I think it's interesting. You know, these type of policies, you don't want to, quote, scare people away. But at the same time, you want to embrace commerce and community. And that's what malls really do, and they do well.
Yeah, they're a gathering place.
Yes. All right. When we come back, I want to do a little Halloween talk. Just let's talk about the traditions. Let's talk about the favorite parts of the holiday. What could you do without? And I'll give you some numbers and insight as to the marketing of it all. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Steve Glenn from Experience Milwaukee and MISO this morning. Quick note from the Milwaukee Business Journal this morning. A new local development firm is a step closer to building what could be downtown Milwaukee's first condo in years. Cirrus Property Group, LLC of Milwaukee, is planning 15 for-sale townhomes on half an acre, right just east of the Milwaukee River, near Birch, if you know where Birch is, one of the top 25 restaurants that Journal Sentinel just announced this week. A great opportunity, I think, to continue the momentum, kind of go a little farther north and east out of downtown. Townhomes, I think, are one kind of place that there's opportunity in that condo space. I know developers have been moving away from condo development. It's a little more expensive. You don't get that ongoing rent opportunity. But to develop really interesting higher-end townhomes, I think there's a good niche in the market for that. So it'll be interesting to watch that project as it continues to grow. All right, it is Halloween. Indeed,
Happy Halloween.
Steve. Happy Halloween to all. You know, you got those elaborate lawn decorations, the bags of candy all over, creative costumes. What's your favorite part of the holiday, Steve?
I love that more than any other holiday, grown-ups really act like kids and have some fun. Like they don't take it too seriously, and they have a lot of fun with it, which is great.
I think that's a good mantra for life
as
well,
right?
You look back, I pulled some data and some tidbits, if you will. November 1st, 1876, the New York Times declared Halloween departed, destined for the grave. You fast forward to 2024, consumers are expected to spend $11.6 billion celebrating the holiday. That's up from $3.3 billion just in 2005. Wow. So, you know, the holiday continues to expand. And I think like a lot of holidays, it's not just one day.
Yeah, I know. It's a, it's what, right? 2 weeks here for you?
It is, yeah. 2 weeks. Yeah. Like, you have the parties beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to coordinate. You got to get the costumes. You got to do everything the weekend before. Then the actual day comes. And you're like, whoa, I got to dive into the holiday again. But now, since we're on a Thursday, there's going to be another weekend. This weekend, too.
I mean, tonight will be wild. I had, a friend of mine went to Vegas for Halloween. I don't know if you've ever been to Vegas for Halloween. It's quite
I have not.
Experience. I think the only thing cooler would be if your birthday is on Halloween.
Yes.
What? Ooh. That's like the best birthday.
Yes. You know, it was one prominent CEO's birthday in Milwaukee today. Former Greater Milwaukee Committee president.
I sent her a text this morning.
Julia Taylor, happy birthday to you. I saw the current GMC president, Joel Brennan, walking through the studios this morning. There you go. It all comes together on the upswing. Together. That's what it's all about. Any other Halloween plans in your family for the rest of the day?
I don't think so. Besides, you know, trying to scare the kids all night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
good.
We'll
all chill together tonight, I think.
It's obviously become a marketer's dream holiday. And kind of similar, I think, to embracing St. Patrick's Day. You know, St. Patrick's Day has become that thing, too, where you have the weekend before with parties and celebrations,
parades,
and parades.
Yeah.
Then you have the day of. And again, if it's a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, you got the weekend after. So businesses are able to take advantage of two weekends of revenue. And that's really ultimately what all these holidays are about.
You know what you know what I saw this year? Halfway to St. Paddy's Day at Explorium.
Yeah. Many of the Irish pubs do that. Moe's Irish pub downtown does that halfway to St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
You get a little sponsorship from Guinness or something like that, and you get people in the doors.
Beer.
You get to do creative promotions to drive the customer base into your place.
Hey,
I love it.
Ultimately, everyone's having fun, right?
That's
the goal.
That's what it's all about. Commerce and community and having fun. So whatever you're doing this Halloween, be safe.
Be safe.
And embrace it all.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Downtown Milwaukee is one step closer to getting what could be its first new condos built in years. A new development firm plans 15 townhouse-style condos on North Jefferson Street, and the city advanced the project this week by recommending a rezoning. The Violent Femmes will appear with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra on PBS stations nationwide in December, thanks to the latest partnership between Milwaukee's public TV stations and the Milwaukee Symphony. The band started in Milwaukee in the early 80s. Local middle schoolers this week had the opportunity to explore different career possibilities using virtual reality. Manpower Group held an event where students used VR to simulate performing knee surgeries, installing solar panels, and working on a factory floor. I'm Teddy Nykel for the Milwaukee Business Journal on 620 WTMJ.